with the sweep and fury of the resurrection. There's a new world a-comin'. Every Sunday at this hour, WMCA, in cooperation with the Citywide Citizens Committee on Harlem, brings you a series of vivid programs on Negro life, based on the theme of Roy Otley's book, New World A-Coming. Today's program is presented in honor of Race Relations Sunday, which today is being observed in churches throughout America. This afternoon, one of the outstanding character actresses of stage and radio, Georgia Burke, joins our star and narrator, Canada Lee, in Owen Dodson's dramatization of John Washington's authentic story, They Knew Lincoln, produced and directed by Mitchell Grayson.
The town I live in is called Harmony. Yes, just plain Harmony. Nice name for a town, isn't it? I think so. A few hundred people live in Harmony. Mostly farming people. They're pretty quiet kind of folks. Like to get up early in the morning, work all day, retire early at night. Sunday they like to go to church. This old church standing here right next to the cemetery. Most of the folks that's buried here were colored. And some of them knew Lincoln. Old Abe Lincoln. Here under this big stone, William de Fleurville. Hardly sounds like a Negro name. But Billy de Fleurville knew Abe from the time he split logs till Abe was shot at Ford's Theater. They tell how Billy met Abe in the fall of 31. Billy had been walking on the road, and Abe had just finished a long day's work splitting logs.
Hello! Hello over there!
Billy walked slowly. His face was kind of keen and sharp, like Abe's axe. And he was foreign-looking, with a color like a ripe sickle pear.
Hello. Can you tell me the way to the nearest village?
What'd you ask?
The way to the village.
Well, what village you aiming to get to?
Springfield.
Oh, you got a long stretch of traveling to do.
Well, am I going in the right direction?
Well, now, let's see. You keep bearing northeast for about 100 miles... When you get to a clearing with about 50 houses, there you'll be in the great metropolis of Springfield, growing city of the Midwest, gateway to the prairies, and capital of this fair state of Illinois.
What village is nearest here?
New Salem.
I walked in from the Mississippi River, and I lost my way.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you come from?
Well, I just come from New Orleans. I landed 2 days ago.
Oh. You weren't escaped?
Oh, no. Never was a slave.
I've seen slavery down in New Orleans.
That's why I'd come away. Didn't want to be caught and put on the auction block down there.
Yeah. Yes, it's terrible the way black folks are chained together in the swamps in New Orleans, planting rice, babies taken away from their mothers. I've seen those things.
Yeah.
Your voice sounds different. Where are you from?
Haiti.
Haiti?
Yeah.
I never talked to anybody from there. Always had a wish to, though. Oh, so you're aiming to get to Springfield, huh? I wouldn't advise walking.
Well, I guess I'll have to. My money is given out.
Well, maybe I can help you get a job. I wager you'll get a couple of evenings' work at Rutledge Tavern.
I'd sure be grateful.
Yes, Miss Ann Rutledge told me a couple of days ago that she needs somebody to help. What you aiming to do in Springfield?
I'm a barber by trade.
Oh, we don't shave much in the Middle West. Our next is used to being covered with hair.
Hey, you never can tell. Might be someday that you might be able to... You want it shaved off. Maybe.
Maybe. By the way, what's your name?
William de Fleurville.
My name's Lincoln. Abe Lincoln.
I'm pleased to meet you.
How'd you happen to come to the States, Billy?
Our father had a street in Haiti or seeing me killed. He was a leader in the revolution and wanted our people to be free.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Freedom's worth fighting for.
Abe got the stranger a job at the tavern, and Billy worked there for almost a week. Then when he earned enough to pay for a stagecoach ticket to Springfield, the stranger departed. In Springfield, there wasn't a barber shop anywhere. So William DeFleurville became Billy the Barber. And pretty soon, his shop became a kind of clubhouse. It wasn't long after that that Abe moved to Springfield and took up his law practice. And sure enough, just as you'd guess, Abe and Billy got together again. Sometimes he'd leave his law books at the barbershop for days at a time. And often, he'd sit there looking up cases while the fellows talked and joked. And Billy clipped away with his scissors. 30 years it went like that. And now, Abe came into Billy's barbershop for the last time.
Why, hello there, Abe.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. President.
Oh, no, not yet, Billy. Couple of days more.
Glad to come by before leaving for Washington, Abe. Mighty glad.
I couldn't rightly leave without coming in to say goodbye. Get my whiskers trimmed for the inauguration.
Now you sit right down here. I've got everything ready.
Ah, I'm going to miss this place, Billy. Going to miss you and all the fine friends I've got here in Springfield. You've done well, Billy. I'm proud of you.
You helped me all that time.
You've helped me a heap. Yes, sir, coming here, place to talk things over with you, empty my mind. I reckon my face won't feel the same in Washington. Oh, sir, Billy, not without your expert scissors and razor.
There you are. I got your beard all trimmed up.
Thank you. Billy?
Yes, Mr. Lincoln.
I won't be forgetting Haiti.
That's a mighty pretty country, sir.
If you get a chance, drop on by the White House. You see, although my son reminds me that I need a serious face, there's nothing like a beard for impressing folks. I might decide to get rid of this beard. Well, goodbye, Billy.
Goodbye, Mr. President.
Yes, in Billy's barbershop, Lincoln learned all about Haiti. And one of the things he did when he got to the White House was to have a bill passed recognizing the independence of Haiti. And he did more than that, too. Lincoln received the first colored ambassador to the United States, the ambassador from the island home of Billy the Barber. And he was accorded all the honors given to any great diplomat in the capital of the United States.
Yes, the people of Harmony have no doubt that Billy's friendship with old Abe had more than a lot to do with it.
Oh, let's see. Oh, yes, yes, right over here. Just the other side of Billy's grave. That's where Elizabeth Thomas lies buried. Elizabeth Thomas. A mighty fine woman. She was known around these parts as the heroine of Fort Stevens. Yeah, that's true. A heroine. When she was alive, I heard her tell the story about her and Lincoln. Her house was not far from here, down the road a piece. A small farmhouse. A nice, cozy place to live. She used to tell how she was sitting by her fireplace crooning a song to her six-month-old baby when someone came up to the door and started knocking.
Who's knocking so fast on our door?
Williams of the Union Army. I have an important message to be delivered to you. It's from the President.
From who?
The President.
Mr. Lincoln?
Yes?
Well, you just hold on 1 minute. Why didn't you tell me that before? I'll be there as soon as I put this baby down.
Lay there still, honey. It's a message from President Mr. Lincoln for your ma. I'm coming. Well, step right in, sir.
Thank you.
Sorry to keep you waiting so long in this early morning. My husband ain't here, and I've got to be careful. What message? Can't figure where he'd be sending me a message.
It's an order, madam.
Is this it and this your letter sealed down?
Yes.
Well, thank you.
It requires an immediate answer.
I got to wait till my husband come home. Then we read it together.
But I'm afraid this demands immediate action.
Now, where's my glasses? Hush, honey, I'm here all right. We got a letter from Mr. Lincoln himself.
Shall I read it for you?
I can't read ABC without my glasses. I can't find them. I'll be much obliged if you read the letter.
All right, ma'am. Dear madam, your house and land is situated at a strategic spot much needed by your government because of the imminent approach...
What's imminent?
Immediate, right away.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
The imminent approach of the Confederate Army under General Early. The government must requisition your...
Requisition?
That means take.
Well, nobody can take my land. I worked too hard to buy it in my
house. Must requisition your property and livestock because of the great danger ahead. You will be suitably reimbursed for whatever damage is done in reconverting, that means making over, your land and properties into Fort Stevens. Signed, Brigadier General Early.
I thought that letter was from President Lincoln.
I mean, signed, President Abraham Lincoln.
You didn't mean no such a thing. I ain't going to budge off of this property. Move on ahead. Army or no army. Here I built my house and here I'll stay.
But, madam,
don't matter me. Move on ahead.
I'm afraid you don't understand. This is an order, madam.
I don't care who it is. Move on ahead. Nobody got no right to move me off what I struggle for. Nobody.
Madam, we're in a war. It's necessary to have this place. Your property controls the entrance to the city. And it's the most important location to defend it.
I don't care. I worked too hard raising them chickens and my Jersey cows. Now leave my house now.
Okay, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me. I ain't budging. No, sir. And anyhow, you told me first that Mr. Lincoln sent a message. I know you ain't lying.
Start in the barn, ma'am.
Right.
We'll be back, ma'am.
Oh, no, sir. I worked too hard. Oh, baby, honey. Don't cry. Don't. They can't do it. I know Mr. Lincoln didn't send no kind of messages there to your ma. They can't take it. Oh, no, no. No. No.
Sounds cruel, doesn't it? But war is war. And late that afternoon, punctual as the sun, Mrs. Thomas was under a sycamore tree with her baby in her arms and her household effects piled about her.
Where are we going, child? I know Mr. Lincoln didn't send no such message to me. He's the kindest man. Talked to me once right here at Brightwood. I know he didn't write no such order to me. Child, look, honey, look who's coming. See him? About the tallest man ever seen. See his stovepipe hat making him taller. He's heading over here. Come, let me fix your dress. Hold still now, honey. Say, I know he's going to help. He's heading over here to me. Oh, I'm not going away. I'm just standing up. Don't wiggle so, honey.
Elizabeth Thomas?
Yes, sir, Mr. Lincoln. Yes, sir.
Well, how's your baby? Last time I was here, she was kind of poorly.
Well, Martha ain't been good at all, but she's much better now.
Oh.
And Mr.
Now, don't you weep, Elizabeth.
Oh, Mr. Lincoln, sir, you don't know.
Yeah. You better sit down. Baby looks mighty heavy. There we are. Now, what's weighing so heavy on your mind?
Oh, Mr. Lincoln, they done taken away my house and my chicken and cows and pigs. Look how they're tearing my cellar away and putting ammunition in. Might blow up in a minute. They said you caused it. But I said you wouldn't do nothing like that. Would you, Mr. Lincoln? Oh, sir.
Well, Miss Elizabeth, I reckon there's a heap of things we must do that we don't want to do. Yes, sir, there's a deal of tearing down we've got to do before we build up. The Confederate Army is marching on Washington. And if the city falls, the Union falls. Do you understand that, Elizabeth?
I understand, sir. But I wake my knuckles to the raw bone to buy my freedom, and I wake harder to buy some land and some livestock. I'm just a poor colored woman, and they've taken all I got.
I know. It is hard. But you shall reap a great reward. When the battle is over, everything will be restored and paid for. But your reward will be greater than that money.
What's that, sir?
Why, you'll still be here. You worked hard to be free. But it's not all won yet. We still have to fight hard and long. You'll help us?
Yes, sir. I understand now, Mr. Lincoln. And I trust you.
Now. Now, the men are going to move your furnishings to one of the barns. I reckon you'll get along first rate there.
Yeah, I'll help, too. I can shoot a gun and cook food. I'll help good.
We need all the help we can muster up.
I can muster up, sir.
You're a good woman, Elizabeth.
I'll muster up fine. Yes, sir, I will.
Thank you. Good day, Elizabeth Thomas.
God bless you, Mr. Lincoln. Come on, honey. We got a stack of work to do. And did you see? He raised his hat as he went away. Did you see that, honey? He raised his hat.
A week later, what Lincoln feared came true. General Early marched to the entrance of the city, and there at Fort Stevens, where Elizabeth Thomas's home was once, the battle raged. Lincoln was there, the first president under fire. He stayed in spite of urgent appeals for him to go to a place of safety. Elizabeth Thomas stayed, too. Yes, sir, she tended the sick and helped cook. Always she had an old shotgun over her shoulder, swinging from a strap. She kept a mighty careful eye on the president.
Mr. Lincoln, you shouldn't be in no battle. It's too dangerous. Please, sir, go to a safety.
Well, if I share the rewards, I must also endure the danger.
I know, but you, the president, how could we do without you?
I see you've got a shotgun there, Elizabeth.
Yes, sir.
Well, then there's no cause for me to be afraid, is there?
No, sir, I've been... Look out, Mr. Lincoln. That Confederate soldier on the hill aiming a gun at you.
Where? I don't see
it. Bend down, lay down, please, Mr. Lincoln. Do as I tell you. I'll take care of him with my own gun. I got him. I got him, Mr. Lincoln. I got him.
Oh, it's all right, Elizabeth. Everything's all right.
He never got you, sir. But he almost killed you dead. This old gun's a fine instrument. I got him.
Thank you for saving my life.
I wouldn't have been feeling terrible if I hadn't got him.
Suppose he had landed a bullet in my hat here. There's a mighty few hats like this around these days, Elizabeth. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, sir.
Yep, it's a fact. The great emancipator's life was saved by a Negro woman, Elizabeth Thomas. Her name's worn off this stone here at the head of her grave, but it'll never be worn out of history. Now, let's go along and take a look at William Slade's grave. His stone says, "Confidential courier and friend to Abraham Lincoln." Yep. Here in Old Harmony, William Slade lies buried under an old oak. He was sort of like an old oak himself, steady. And always there by Lincoln's side. Like that night at Gettysburg. The night before Lincoln's great speech.
Come in. Hey, Slade. I thought you'd gone to bed hours ago.
I thought you might need me, sir.
Well, it is rather late. I've been looking over my speech for tomorrow.
Well, you had only a little sleep last night, Mr. Lincoln. Why don't you lie down and rest some? I'll call you first thing in the morning.
Oh, I don't think I could sleep much tonight. My mind's too full. You'd best go to bed now.
No, I'll stay until you retire. You might need me.
Oh, thanks, Slade. I was hoping you'd say that. You've been by my side so many times when I couldn't sleep. Walking the floor, trying to figure out how I could end this war and keep the Union together.
Yes, sir.
I know what I ought to say tomorrow. It's written down right here. But is it wise to say it? I must decide.
Well, you've got to do what's in your heart, Mr. Lincoln. If you think it's right, it's right.
I reckon you're talking good sense.
Oh, here's your shawl, sir. It's mighty breezy in here.
Never known you to forget anything.
I just saw it lying around when I was packing. My wife told me it was cold as zero in Gettysburg.
She wasn't lying. Slade, you
yes,
read
sir.
This speech. What do you think of it?
Well, sir, I ain't too much of a judge, but it's like a prophecy, sir. Like a Bible reading over the fallen in the war. Oh, it's given me hope, sir.
Mm-hmm. You understand all of it?
It's simple and clear like a good handshake.
It's pretty short.
Does that matter?
Yeah, when you're on the same platform with the greatest orators of our country. I suppose you need a longer speech than I've got here. Folks kind of expect it.
Well, I'd go to bed if I was you.
Secretary Seward ought to see this tonight. But it's mighty late.
Well, Mr. Lincoln, now, if you want him to see it tonight, late or no late, I'll take it over to him.
Well, it's cold outside, Slade. I wouldn't want you to take a chance on getting a cold.
Oh, it's only a short piece, and I'll bundle up warm.
All right. That'll be first rate.
That night in the cold, William Slade took the president's speech to Secretary of State Seward. When he returned, Lincoln was walking the floor of his room, his shawl over his shoulders, his head bowed, thinking.
Come in. Oh, you're back in record time, Slade. Well, what did Seward say?
Well, he didn't say very much, sir, when he read it. He said it would be all right because it was brief.
It is rather for us, the living, to here dedicate our lives to that unfinished task which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. Let us here highly resolve that these honored dead shall not have died in vain, and that government of the people, by the people and for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Was brief, all right. Only 266 words. And every blessed word a golden nugget to be weighed and polished and thought hard about. Lincoln finished his speech. There was silence. Silence and then a little applause. And then the folks at Gettysburg went home. Some people didn't understand it then. But William Slade understood it. And today, we understand it, don't we? Well, time's getting short now. Getting a little late. A long time has passed away since then. But that speech hasn't passed away. No. It's still a living speech. Elizabeth Thomas, Billy the Barber. It's still an important speech, William Slade. A speech to fight for. Yes, Abraham Lincoln. And we'll never give up the fight. Never. So long as places like Old Harmony still stand in the United States of America.
You've been listening to Owen Dodson's dramatization of John Washington's authentic story, They Knew Lincoln, published by E.P. Dutton. Starring Canada Lee as narrator, Georgia Burke as Elizabeth Thomas, and Richard Coogan as Abraham Lincoln. The program was directed and produced by Mitchell Grayson. Original music by James Lozito is conducted by Jerry Sears. Theme music by Duke Ellington. Others in the cast today were Frank Wilson, Walter Mosby, and Sanford Bickert. Next week, the story of blood plasma, one of the most unusual stories that has ever been broadcast on this series. If you'd like to see a broadcast of New World A-Coming, which is based on the theme of Roy Otley's book with the same name, write to WMCA, New York City 19. Your announcer, George Willard, this is America's leading independent station.